Welcome to These Are Good Days with Leanne Miller
and Matt Barris.
Well, Matt, today we're talking about some house rules.
We are. We're talking about Mikellen's Smith's book, House Rules, and she is here. So thank you for being a guest on our podcast.
I have looked so forward to this. You guys are so much fun. You're like America's best friends. We all want to be friends with you.
That's so funny. So
I want cameras following you, all of it. So, but yes, my name is Mikellen Smith. I have been on the internet my entire life, it feels like. But no, really, I go by the Nester online because when I first started about 17 years ago, you know, everyone was using the cutesy names like Naptime Diaries and Tater Tots in My Dryer and things like that. We all were just... We weren't quite sure about this internet thing. Like, should we use our real names? And my name is weird. And it just felt a little too much to put it out there. It has a Q in it. It's a mess. But anyway, if you've seen me online and go by the Nester, I see the world through house colored glasses. And my goal is to help people create the home they've always wanted so that they can use it the way they've always dreamed. And I just talk about home all the time.
Yeah. And right now you're in the middle of launching your fourth book. You've hit New York Times bestselling lists. And this book, House Rules, is an incredible book that I cannot wait to talk about. It is, I don't know what I expected, but it's nothing like what I expected. And so I am excited for people to get this book in their hands because my hope is that it also blows everyone else's mind, just like it did mine. So
yeah,
yes.
You were expecting a decorating book.
Yeah.
More of a decorating.
I read like Ashley Furniture how-to guides, but this is not that.
Yeah, no. This is tapping into more than just that. It's
100%.
It's a lot about loving your space and how to fall more in love with your home.
Absolutely. But before we get too far into this, something we do on our podcast that our community knows and loves is we always talk about our good days. You know, the premise of These Are Good Days is whether ordinary or extraordinary, that every day can be a good day. And so we like to find our good day. So we share ours. So you're going to share yours in a second. So we'll give you time, but we're going to share our good days. And I'll go first.
You go first.
So recently, Mallory and you, actually, you stole my wife.
Yes.
She texted me during the day, said, Leanne asked if I could go on Miller time. Mikellen, when we all do things with Leanne, we call it Miller time because time goes out the window with her. You know, I'll tell my wife, hey, I'm going to pop over to Leanne and Daryl's house. And she's like, see you tomorrow morning. Like it's just how it is. And so Mallory went on Miller time with you and you went to one of your favorite stores, Be Fearless. Mm-hmm. And my mom said, hey, can I come over and make dinner and bring dinner over and feed you and the kids? And I was like, well, yeah. And listen, I'm 39 years old. And when can we ding our bell?
Ding your
I'm
bell,
39 years old. And I don't care how old you are. When your mom says,
yes,
can I make dinner for you and take care of your kids?
Yes.
You say yes.
Yes.
And so still, you're 39 and you're a dad of three kids. You just say thank you and let her do her thing.
Yes.
So that was a good day. And she made, I will tell you this, she made chicken paprikash, which is a family favorite that came from Hungary. Listen, my grandma was 12 years old when she came to America. So we're not that far. So we love it.
Yeah. So it's such a good meal. I've had it. It's delicious. Shout out Francine.
My mom's amazing.
So sweet. My good day, I recently went to an Amish wedding. I'm from Ohio's Amish country. My husband was raised Amish. And so often we get invited to weddings and our friends who we hung out with when we were younger, you know, we were in our 20s, their children are now getting married and many of them are Amish. And today I went to an Amish wedding earlier and I was just reminded of just the just reverence and the sanctity and the lovely ceremony and covenant of marriage. It just was, it's so sweet. And the way the Amish do it, it's not, there's nothing over the top. It's done beautifully. Everything's clean and lovely, but it's really just about the covenant that they're making and it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. So that was my good day. And actually when I go to those things, it's so great to see Daryl in that environment, my husband, because he's so quiet and everybody's like, dude, Daryl, hey, dude, hey, what's up?
You know, he's popular. Yeah, he's a popular Amish man, former Amish man.
And so I love that because I'm like, ha, that's great.
Yes.
Yeah, that was my good
day. We want to hear what is an awesome day that you've had recently.
Well, I'm going to have to just share a really high up there awesome day. My good day was the eclipse a few weeks ago. We went to Columbus, Indiana, which is my hometown. My parents went, their dog went, one of my kids went. I mean, we just had like a hodgepodge. My sister, we had friends. We ended up staying at like the Embassy Suites or I don't know, some random hotel.
Are you serious? Did you just say Embassy Suites?
No, we did not stay there. I did say it. Wait, what is happening?
We talk about the Embassy Suites on this podcast. My family is
all the time.
My family is obsessed with the Embassy Suites because we have three kids and our kids get a living room to sleep in and we get a bedroom all at the same place.
Yes.
This is
Embassy
true.
Suites, if you are listening, we would love if you sponsored us. That's all I'm going to say. All right. So tell us about your eclipse day.
We didn't stay at the Embassy Suites, but that's exactly what we did when my kids were little. And one year when we did,
yes,
homeschooled them for some of the time, and I always felt like I was making them stupider. And I remember pulling in and our oldest said, oh, the Embassy Suits. And I was like,
that is amazing. That is amazing.
Yeah. The eclipse was there are no words. It's sitting next to the interstate, next to not the Embassy Suites, in lawn chairs on a soggy field behind Costco, was a moment. Mm-hmm. It was wonderful.
Where we live in Ohio was in the path of totality. I think we were in the upper 90%. And I don't know what I expected, but it blew my mind in every way. And it was just like the best 2 minutes.
Yeah, you said it was kind of under, you thought it was underrated.
I do. I thought it was underrated. Like, we did not hype this up enough. Like, there needs to be more because it was amazing. So that's an awesome good day. And I love that you got to experience that and us too in a state over. So, hey, well, we are so excited to jump in and talk a little bit about your book, House. I already said this and I've said it to you and I'm going to say it again, is I love this book. And let me tell you why. And I hope, truthfully, I actually did say this to you before we aired and then we talked a little bit, but I need to say it again because here's what I think. This book, if you are going into it thinking this is going to make me redecorate my house and she's going to tell me what colors to use and what schemes to use, that is not this book. This book is value driven about how we look at truthfully life and the world around us. And I kept nudging my wife and saying, babe, you have to hear this. You have to hear this line, because it's not a book about decorating. It is, but it's not as much. It is about how to appreciate and love life, which is in so much congruence with what we talk about in this podcast. And truthfully, we talk about faith sporadically and periodically through this. You know, we've never said we are a faith-based podcast, but both of us mm-hmm. would say that we love Jesus Christ and we are Christians. But I said, I can see the fingerprints of the Lord on this book in some regard. You know, you're using your talents and your gifts, but the values that you have woven in this book are just so poignant and so life-changing that I kept saying, this is like a spiritual book, not just a decorating book. And so my hope is that other people see that and say, this is more than just a book about decorating. I mean, you have probably 60 post-it notes and you only have 100 rules. So that's a lot. So can you tell us when you thought about house rules, what was your inspiration behind a book of rules? And maybe it would be helpful for you to go to the end of your book. Maybe I think it's rule 100 is it's really not about the rules, but it is about the rules. So can you just tell us a little bit of your inspiration behind the rules?
I think it was after I had written a couple books and I thought, I did it. I am helping so many people. This is going to solve all of their house problems. And then I went to a little fundraiser event and a girl came behind stage and met me and she said, I have all of your books. I love what you do. And then she kind of whispered, like she looked around, she was like, but I haven't made any changes in my home yet. I just wasn't born with a decorating gene. I mean, the world stopped, the record screeched, and I thought, I have failed. Because if I have somehow, people that have watched what I do or have my books believe the lie that you're either born with it or you were not, then I am doing the world a disservice. And decorating is simply a skill that you get to enjoy learning. And I want to teach people how to do it. You get to have fun. I mean, where home should be the safest place on earth to take a risk. And so that last rule, like rule 100, I think, is that there is no done. And I hope, instead of being like, there's no done, lady, you just gave me 100 tips. There's no, I hope instead it's like, oh, there's no done. We get to keep doing this because our lives grow and we change and we have different needs and our home is there to serve us and to reflect that. And I think, oh, we're so lucky that our home is never done.
And I also loved in your book and in the little package that you sent us had this beautiful card that we have displayed on our mantle now. And I apologize if I don't have it perfectly, but it says, learn the rules and then break them beautifully and perfectly or something to that effect. Can you say it better than I can?
I will try, but I don't know that I can. I think it came out of writing a book called House Rules. I love the name, but I'm not a rule girl, but I do believe that there's something to do. I don't know if you guys have read any of Andrew Peterson's books. He's a songwriter, singer, songwriter, and creative. Mm-hmm. He writes for creatives. And he talks about when you are, you know, an artist is going on in a creative endeavor and you have to earn the right to break the rules. So there's something there about when you're doing something that takes that part of your brain that is enjoyable and it is supposed to be fun and you can do whatever you want and the goal is to love it. It is still helpful to know the rules. That way, when you break them, you're breaking them because you believe that whatever it is you're doing, in this case, making a beautiful home and a beautiful room that you're going to enjoy, you know that you're breaking the rules because the home is going to be better, not because you don't know better. And that, we feel that in our very soul when we are breaking a rule out of confidence and we're using like a tiny little piece of art on a big wall or over a fireplace because we know it's going to catch people's eye and be unexpected. That is delightful. But when we're clueless and we feel like we don't have any confidence in what we're doing, that's a whole different way to break the rules. So yes, I'm not a rule girl at all. I want you, rule number one is to learn the rules and then break them beautifully.
Yes. I love that. That is your language, Leanne.
Oh, that's totally my language. That's why I bought the little thrifted, I will have to show my little thrifted lady that I just bought because she spoke to me. I knew right where I'd put her in my home. Don't you also think that the older that you get and the more life you've lived, you kind of get comfortable in your skin of the rule breaking. There's something about us when we're younger, I think, that we feel like we need to adhere to certain rules, whether that's decorating or life. And then when you get older, you're like, oh, I'm not listening to that. And I don't care who likes that. I love that, you know, and I think too, I would say what I've learned from you just by following you on Instagram, which I love your Instagram, the Nester, is that you never make me feel like I'm doing it wrong. And I think when people are guiding and teaching, sometimes the challenge in that is me sitting here thinking, oh, she's doing it right. I'm doing it wrong. And you never make me feel like I'm doing it wrong. In fact, you make me go, oh, I can do that. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. So when did you start saying to yourself, no, you can put a little piece of art on a big wall and it work? Because it is kind of breaking a rule if you talk to some people.
Yeah. Well, here's the beautiful part. I started when I was playing Barbies. I started in my bedroom on the floor and my sister very frustrated because I didn't care about Skipper and Ken's drama. I went to my parents' bedroom and got little knickknacks and my mom's little African violet was a big floor plant. Right? I mean, right?
That's funny.
And so I got to learn how to decorate before it mattered, before anyone saw it. Learning those rules of decorating that the designers go to school and they naturally know, but they might not even know to say. And I think if any of us think back to the hobbies that we had as a kid, mine happened to be playing with Barbies and decorating Barbie houses. You know, my boys all fix cars. So they got to learn about cars and the ins and outs before it even mattered. So even though I don't believe anyone's born with the decorating gene, I think some of us got to practice early.
Yeah.
And then some of us have to learn later. And it can be scarier when you learn later. And I don't want it to be scarier. There's nothing about decorating that should be scary.
No, you never make me feel that. I never feel that way. When I'm watching you on Instagram, I'm like, oh, look what you did with that space. I would have never tried that. But now I'm going to try this, like where I have that little rocker sitting right over there. That was from you. I'm like, I'm going to put that little rocker there because I've seen that done. And it makes me feel like it works. It can work. And before you share some of your favorite things, I just want to share two things in this book that literally like make my heart like sing. The first one is hospitality has nothing to do with the size of your home.
Absolutely.
I live in the smallest house. This could make me emotional. I live in the smallest house we've ever lived in, and it does not stop me. In fact, if anything, I think people feel cozier and closer because they have to be, because we are cozier and closer here. And I think what it has done for me is it has made me treasure every space because I don't have a bunch of space.
Yeah.
So I use it better. I loved that. I love that that portion of your book, that the size of your house does not dictate the size of your hospitality. Mm-hmm. The other one is life is a special occasion.
Yeah.
I don't want to give the whole book away, but I don't. You need to buy it. But here's what I want to say about this portion of the book. It's so important. There's so many important elements of this book, so many. But this portion, you know, it always squeezes my heart when people give the kid table the paper and the things that aren't as beautiful, when I think the kid table should have everything that the big people table have, you know, and
that's
I,
so good.
And when I pull out all the special things, there is no doubt in my mind that the people sitting around my space know that those things are special, which translates to them that they are special. So I would rather break the glass and use it than hide it or keep it on the shelf, because it is a way that I exercise my gifting and I exercise the love of Jesus. That's just the way that it is. That's the truth. But it's a way that I love people. So those two little portions of the book are like what the whole book is about. Mm-hmm. And it's a way, it's really a way, to me, your book is the way we love people. And how we love people, how our house, you know, we love people because we're humans, but our house loves people too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So when the rule life is a special occasion, you know, that speaks to even our podcast and the premise of what we talk about. Was there a moment in your past, you know, you wrote in your book, first of all, this is
20, we're telling her all about her.
I know, we're telling you about your book. How many places you've lived? You've lived in a lot of homes, and I also loved how you said you're the mom that lets your kids ride the bike in the house and the rollerblades, and you have boys, and you let them do that. But was there ever a moment where you were like, you saved all the special things, and you went, no, why am I doing this? And what does that look like for you now? Like when you break out all the special stuff and you live, you light the candles, you use the good lotion. Mm-hmm. What does that look like for you now?
I think when I realized that using the special things was okay was after my grandmother died and I got some of her blue willow china. I was newly married, very close to my grandmother. She died when I was in high school. And those pieces, they're just odds and ends, like a platter, a teapot of just random couple pieces. And when we were in like the smallest house we ever lived in, it was basically a garage behind someone else's house. My husband was in grad school. I worked at the college, this tiny little house. I had put a plate hanger on the back of her platter and I hung it on the wall. And one day I rubbed up against it and it shattered. And I, at first I was devastated, but then I thought, I'm so glad I used it. I'm so glad. She would be happy that I loved it instead that it could have been packed away safely for years. Yes. Or sold to someone who, would, you know, whatever, like it killed me that it shattered. And now I buy Blue Willow and collect different transferware because that makes me think of her. But I like to think that she would have been thrilled to know that I loved it.
Oh, I love that story. Thank you for sharing that story. Okay, I need to know. Well, first of all, I need to tell you a little bit about something. I took the quiz on your website.
Yeah, there's a quiz.
So there's a quiz that people should, if you're listening to this podcast, you need to find this quiz because it tells you about your style. And I need to tell you my style. Actually, I'm curious because I know that you've seen the updates we've been making in our house. You know, we just got a peacock couch with peacock like color. A very blush pink. So could you guess what my style is? Is this fair to put her on the spot like this?
Well, what your website is so people can take the quiz. What's your website?
It's at thenester.com. I'm trying to think. I think the quiz is at the top, but it might not be right now. But let me tell you, it's not necessarily, if we call it your style personality. So, you know, I have an eclectic style, but as far as your style personality, I feel like you might be soulful. Is that cool?
That's the one. The soulful stylist. I am the soulful stylist. I knew you nailed it. It said, I don't remember the whole description because it gives you a description, but the part that I wrote on says, and you also enjoy a bit of maximalism. And that is us.
Love it.
You got it. That actually leads me to something that I think is important about your book and your messaging is I think for many people, if they were to follow you on social media or if they've grabbed some of your books and they want to buy a peacock blue couch and paint a pink wall, they're going to be like, oh my gosh, the Nester would think I'm crazy. But that is so not your message.
Right.
Can you talk a little bit about that? Because, you know, if you would flip through your books and your personal style is very neutral, you have a lot of traditional things with some more modern things mixed in, but that's not the point. The point is tell me about that. You know, you love neutrals, but you don't say that everyone has to be a neutral person. Right.
Here's the thing that the decorating industry has accidentally taught us through Shelter magazines, HGTV, people we follow on Instagram. We have somehow fallen under the delusion that we have to follow people whose style we want to emulate. And if we don't want their style, they have nothing to teach us. And I want to remind us that when there is something we want to learn, there are two types of people we should look for to learn from. One is kind of really like an influencer to imitate, someone who, when they link to their coffee table or the latest pillow, that I want to go buy that. That is such a service. It's a lot of work to curate that. And I love following people whose style I am after. But there is another type of person as well. And that's someone who is more of a teacher with a mindset you want to model. You know, I follow a lot of business owners because I'm a business girl. I run my own business. And their business does not have to be my business. But if they run their business, if they want to spend time with their family and want to have vacations and not want to have a huge business and want just a couple part-time people to work for, I know their mindset is like mine and I want to learn from them. It doesn't matter what their business is. It is the same with decorating. If there is someone who, you know, if you want to use your home and love it, if you want to be the first one to volunteer to host, if you want to figure out why the art that you hung over your mantle in your last house looked great, and then you moved to your new house and it looked hideous, I'm your girl. I can help you figure out why some things look weird and other things look great. It's not about getting my style. I want to help you find your style. And the goal for you is to love your home. If you love your home and if you're using your home, congratulations, you're doing it exactly right.
I think you just captured why I love this book so much, is because it is not about the color. It's not about the style of couch. It is all about the mindset and the intention and the value behind what we do with our homes. And that is truly why, honestly, I went into this being like a decorating book. It is not that. And that's why I love this, is I feel like there are things you wrote in your book that even, you know, I work in education as a vocation. I was a pastor. And so I am not a decorator, but when I look at your book and you have beautiful spreads, and I believe this is like this page that I'm showing you on video is like your grandma's glassware that you love. But, you know, you write things in your book like this. This is a quote from your book where it says, "Your willingness to begin without perfect circumstances is your most valuable resource." And here's what I love about that is there are so many connections that to our life in laid out in this book that is more than just a decorating book. This can shape how we view our homes, how we love our homes, and ultimately how we love each other through using. So I so appreciate that about your book.
Are we describing your book well?
I hope we are.
I am just going to play this over and over. Follow me around. This has been so life to me to hear you guys Aww. Talk about it. No, thank you. You got it. Like,
yeah. So tell me this, do you have some favorite house rules that stick out for you? Because I have some of yours that I'm already saying to my wife, but I want to hear yours first.
I think the very first rule that I was like, I like saying that, was contrast is queen if you want to be seen. It was like a little chant that I taught, because I'm a teacher. And so I teach people how to decorate. I have a private community. Sometimes I do classes, and I can remember being in second grade and our teacher passed out something and we weren't supposed to take it home. And so she stood up on the desk and she was like, "I don't take it home. Don't take it home." And she didn't. I still remember that. And I'm a 50-year-old woman. How can I help my students remember universal decorating truths? And if I can say it in a weird, stupid, quirky, memorable way, then when we're at Target and we're trying to decide if we should get the black vase or the white vase, they can say, "Oh, wait, Nestor says contrast is queen if you want to be seen. And my fireplace is white and my walls are white and my mantle's white and my art is white. I better get the dark vase if I want it to be seen." So that's probably my favorite just because it was the first. What about you?
That's why I love this book, is that you're not telling us what to do. You're helping us do it. You Yes. are a teacher, and that's what I love. The one that I've been saying at home, we did some recent painting and renovation, not really renovation, painting. That I use, to me, it feels like a renovation, but it's really just painting.
Yeah, but you rearranged and we did a gallery wall.
But you know what we did is we took everything out of the room, we painted, and then we put it back. And Mallory, my wife and I are shop the house people. You know, you put words to something that we've done for a while, is that when you need something, you're like, "Oh, there's, I need a container for this thing or to hold this or a tray for this on my counter." Look at what you have first. You don't need to run right to the nearest home goods store to find what you have. And I love using things in different places. I have to say another one that I love because it just speaks to me, you don't know this about me, but at our podcast community does and Leanne does, is I love Disney and I like incorporating little Disney vintagey stuff in our decorating. And so the find your taxidermy rule really spoke to me. Can you tell me, and actually Leanne put this on her little table. It's a little skull.
We have taxidermy in this house.
You do. But can you expound a little more on find the taxidermy? Because it so spoke to my wife and I. Love the weird or the unusual in finding it in the places. So can you talk a little bit about find the taxidermy? Because I love that rule.
I will. I didn't come up with this rule. My friend Kendra said it. She visited our house and she like looked around and, you know, we had just moved here. She had been to our last house. And she said, "You know what? At first, when I come in, when I see we have a stuffed fox, he's got little sunglasses on. In my last house, I had a sailfish. We've got some rabbit pelts. I just love the natural world. I love anything we can bring in from that." She's like, "At first, it makes me think, oh my gosh, I need to have some taxidermy." But she's like, "No, no, no, that's actually not it. It's that special quality that feels very like me and my husband, Chad. Like it suits us. It suits where we live. It suits our house. It's like our own signature piece." And she's like, "That's what I want. I want my house to reflect our personal uniqueness, whatever that is." So that's what the find your taxidermy is. Like, figure out your Disney, your vintage Disney,
that's right,
your taxidermy, whatever it is that's like uniquely, you're just so goofily, weirdly into and obsessed with. And let your house show that off.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. So we actually bought a picture, an old picture of Walt Disney, and hid it in our gallery wall with like other pictures. So I'm excited if people are, nobody's really been over since we did it like on Monday. And I'm excited for people to be like, is that Walt Disney hidden in like this gallery wall? That's so fun. Okay, I have one more rule I want to ask you about. Actually, I have a lot more, but I'm only going to give you one more. Can you talk about prioritize the tushies?
Yes.
Because I just love the word tush.
I just wanted to work that in. Well, especially we have lived in 15 different homes, and I always love to have people over. I'm an introvert. My husband is an extrovert. I feel like hosting is the thing we do best together. I go to bed early. He hangs out. I set the scene and then leave. You know, it just, it works. But one of the things that I found was when we had people over, they need to sit down. So after a couple of times of hosting the community group or whatever it is and realizing I don't want to have to bring in fold up chairs or outdoor yard chairs, how can I sneak in seating? It became like a little game for me. I'm very boring. This is a fun game for me, but you know, can I have a couple ottomans tucked under like an open surface? Can I have something on wheels that maybe was behind, but I can pull it out? Can I double a stool as a seat? And so I would just sit back and like count my seats. Like how many seats can I fit into this room? And is there any way that I can add more? Because when we have people over, the way that you say we were expecting you is by having a place for them to actually sit down.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. I have a question for you that I think, Leanne, we've talked about this before, is what do you think it is that holds us back from being hospitable and using our home? Like if you could tell the world this message, like use your home, but what do you think it is, the hurdles that you think we need to break through to make our house a home and entertain more and love people well through using our home?
Well, ultimately, it's the myth of perfection and seeing a misunderstanding that we think perfection is the goal. We've got it all backwards. It's actually imperfection puts people at ease. Imperfection really is the goal if you want to get down to it. If you think about the conversations that made you closer to a friend and what builds friendships are sharing those hard times. And it's the same with our home. Like if that is true, then how can our home help host imperfection? How can our home say, we're not formal here. We're not taking ourselves too seriously. This is a place where imperfections are welcome. Well, first of all, don't expect perfection from yourself. Open up your home before it's ready in the midst of doing things. And it's hard to do. And sometimes when I feel not ready to have people over, it can be helpful to remember times where I have felt hosted and heard and cared for, and then thought, well, what is it that what did their countertops look like? I have no idea.
That's a good word. So I love that.
You know, something that I just thought of this, and I do it because it's just my personality, but I think it's what you're saying is I am never ready when people come. My husband is a completely different personality. He'd have everything ready and on the table and you would just sit down right away and eat. You know this about me. When you come to my house for supper, I never, by the time you get here. Like I'm still cooking. I'm still making things. And somehow I have watched that make people feel like, oh, well, I didn't come and everything wasn't like set and the table wasn't set and ready and we were to sit down. I'm still chopping the stuff for the salad.
Yeah. And I think it's really disarming for people.
Yeah.
When you have a space like that.
Yeah. Where they feel like, oh, she doesn't have it all put together. You're right. I think to feel like it's not perfect is a good thing.
It's not the goal.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I love what you said. It is disarming to be welcomed into the midst of things and not being presented as I don't want to be presented a show. I want to be welcomed in. You're doing it perfectly. I love it.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I want to walk into a house where they say, hey, could you take this garbage out for me? It's getting ready to overflow and I'm still not ready for
I love that.
What?
Do you have a question?
No.
Okay. Okay. I I do have a question for you. Did you get a box from us in the mail?
Oh.
I got a box of like groceries that were high end and wonderful. Like, I'm going to make the most decadent peanut butter and jam sandwich the world has ever seen.
That is awesome. We actually have a sponsor for our podcast. It's a local company called Walnut Creek Foods, and they have a retail store called Walnut Creek Cheese and Market. And I told them that we were going to have you mm-hmm. on, and they said, make a list of your favorite stuff and we will mail it to her. And so we loaded you up
yeah.
with our favorite, yeah. things. Favorite things. We got church noodles, Amish church noodles, peanut butter fluff spread, some beautiful jams, the onion saver,
onion
keeper. That's your favorite, yes, one of your favorite that. Gadgets. And so did you have a chance to try anything yet?
Yes, I already tried the jam.
Yes.
Good.
Or the peanut butter. Was it fluff? I don't think I realized that.
It's like a fluffy peanut butter marshmallow.
Yeah, it has marshmallow in it.
I'm having that for dinner. I'm going to go right okay. in there. That was the most fun to get. Thank you so much. And thank you to the market. Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Okay, let me just tell you a little something about that peanut butter spread. If you have Ritz crackers in your house, do you have Ritz crackers in your house right now? Okay.
No.
Buy some Ritz crackers and you put a little swirl of that peanut butter spread on top of a Ritz cracker. That, oh, it's so good. And then also toast. Toast your bread, put a little butter, put some of that peanut butter okay. spread on. Yes, ma'am. It's making my mouth water right now.
Okay.
She says, yes, ma'am. Listen, Leanne is an authority in the food department.
Exactly as she says. Like, I will obey.
Those onion savers are actually, if you don't have one, do you have one?
I've never used one. No, I'm like a savage just throwing a random onion in a bag.
Yeah. So the onion saver will keep your onion from collecting moisture that can make your onion a little bit wet and slimy in like plastic wrap or a baggie, but it will also protect your onion. Protect the rest of your refrigerator from smelling like an onion. It really just, it extends the life of your onion. Okay. So
okay.
We put that in the box because we just felt like you needed one if you didn't have one.
Absolutely.
My family thanks you. And well, I do as well.
Listen, your boys are going to love it. Your husband, Chad, is going to love it. And listen, our secret hope is that it makes you guys say, we really need to get up to Amish country yes. and let Matt and Leanne take us around. That's our end goal.
Okay. Listen, I am so honored that you would be here and talk with us about home, because it really is one of my favorite topics. And I love my home. So to be able to talk about home and how to do it well and according to our own personalities it's just been a treasure. I hope we can do it again.
I agree.
I would love that. You guys are so dear to me and so enjoyable to get to follow. Thank you for sharing your lives with the rest of us. It's just in your friendship too, like all of it. It's just so good. It's my favorite.
Aww. Well, thank you so much. We're so thankful that you popped in on our podcast. Can't wait to see what happens with this new book, House Rules. And actually, the day that we're recording this, something great just happened on Amazon. I saw this before we started, is Amazon changed the price because it's selling and it's already doing great. And so congratulations yes. to your early success on this book. We are cheering you on from Ohio. And again, I can't say it enough. I am just so impressed with what I can see the values of your heart and the way that you love and treat people through the rules that you wrote out. And so thank you for your intention and the way that you're teaching us all instead of telling us, because yes, I think yes. that's an important distinction.
Yes.
You are a teacher and not a teller. And that just speaks to us. So thank you so much for your book. Cause we believe it's going to change people. And that's our hope. So thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, well, this is how we end our podcast yes, every time. Whether right. ordinary or extraordinary, we hope you see that these are good days.